Hello and welcome to another teaching from 119 Ministries. Our ministry believes that the whole Bible is true and directly related to our lives today. If you would like to know more about what we believe and teach, please visit us at testeverything.net. If you enjoy this video, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe to our channel by hitting the button down below. We hope that you enjoy studying and testing the following teaching. At this point in the Life After Death series, we have learned that when we die, neither believers nor unbelievers are conscious until the resurrection. What happens to us as believers at the time of the resurrection? Is it then that we go to heaven and live there eternally? While going to heaven when we die is the common mainstream Christian understanding, it does not appear to be an accurate one, even following the resurrection. First, let's review what we can learn about the resurrections from Scripture. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Despite the resurrection of the dead being an elementary doctrine of Yeshua, people today make an end goal of their faith all about getting into heaven, evidencing that they fail to understand that our hope is to be in the resurrection. Acts 23. Now when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial." Acts 24. Having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. The good news is not about going to heaven. The good news is that we are saved from death through the resurrection to come. Without the resurrection, there is no good news. Without the resurrection, you stay dead. Without the resurrection, life is literally over, forever. The resurrection is perhaps the most important remaining promise for believers. The resurrection is the reward for our faith. The resurrection saves us from death. It is only because of Yeshua's death and resurrection that our very own resurrection is made possible. When we die, the very next thing that we will experience is the resurrection. So while the resurrection may be many years after our death, because we are not conscious after we die, the resurrection will seem instantaneous. Countless verses detail the resurrections that are to come. We're going to spend some time going through these scriptures to help paint a picture, not only of the importance of the resurrection, but also when we can expect it to happen. Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Daniel is told the time of the end. He is offered some prophetic detail that includes some information regarding the resurrections to come. This is important to understand, especially for those who believe we go to heaven following death. It is at the time of the resurrection of the just, or believers, that we are delivered. The definition of this word delivered, Hebraically, means to be saved or to escape. It is at our resurrection that we are saved from death. We escape the finality and eternity of death. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Think about this for a moment. If we were in heaven immediately following our death, would we need to be delivered from heaven? Would we need to be saved from heaven? Would we need to escape heaven? Of course not. As Daniel is told, when the resurrection of the just occurs, we are dust, nothing more. We were promised to become dust from the beginning because of our sin. We are unconscious in death, and it is from this state that we need to be saved. It is this state from which we need to be delivered. When do we have everlasting life? Is it when we die and go to heaven? No, that is not what Daniel is told. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. We do not go to heaven after death. We do not go to heaven for everlasting life. It is at the resurrection that we finally wake up and then have everlasting life. We also see another resurrection mentioned in Daniel 12, a resurrection for unbelievers. These are those who wake up to shame and everlasting contempt. Why do unbelievers need to be resurrected? That is perhaps the most important question that leads to proper understanding of the eternal fate of unbelievers. We will cover the resurrection of unbelievers in part 7 of the Life After Death series. Isaiah presents a fascinating timeline as it relates to the resurrection of the just. Isaiah 26, "Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers, and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while, until the fury has passed by. For behold, Yahweh is coming out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will disclose the blood shed on it, and no more cover its slain." Isaiah 26 is referring to the future resurrection. There is so much detail here that is worth mentioning. First, Isaiah states that we live again, when our bodies rise. We are not alive in heaven, we are dead in the dust. We are dwelling in the dust. We are not dwelling in heaven. It is when we awake and come back to life that we sing for joy. When does this all happen? This happens at the time of the wrath, when all on earth are judged. Later, we will see that this resurrection is at the time of Yeshua's return. It appears that Yahweh protects us during this time of wrath, placing us in a safe place, a chamber or a room. It is worth noting that the only wrath mentioned in end times in the book of Revelation is the bowls of wrath. Ezekiel 37 also mentions the resurrection. "The hand of Yahweh was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of Yahweh and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Yahweh God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live.'" The resurrection prophecy of Ezekiel 37 is connected back to Genesis, in which Yahweh's breath is stated to enter us, and then we once again live. Remember, in the creation account, we are created as dust plus Yahweh's breath. At death, we return to dust, as the curse of death resulting from Adam and Eve's sin promises us. But at the resurrection, Yahweh once again breathes life into us, his spirit animating us back to life. Job chapter 19. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand up upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." We see that Job had an understanding of the future resurrection. And more importantly, Job states that he will not see God until he stands upon the earth at the resurrection. Job did not hope for a life in heaven. He hoped for eternal life through the resurrection. Moving on to the New Testament, we learn that it is Yeshua's death and resurrection that enables our future resurrection. John chapter 11. Yeshua said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Here Yeshua emphasizes that it is the resurrection that brings us life, and it is through the resurrection that we will never die. Yeshua did not die so that we can go to heaven. Yeshua died so that we will be resurrected. It is the resurrection through Yeshua that is our hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Messiah Yeshua. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead." Romans chapter 8. "If the Spirit of Him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." What does it mean to be saved? We are saved at the resurrection. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." So when does eternal life begin? The last day at the resurrection is the day that we are raised up. John 6:40. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." John chapter 6. "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So just like Daniel chapter 12 already told us, and now Yeshua, eternal life begins at the resurrection. So on the last day, Yeshua will return and save us by a resurrection. We'll be raised up from the dead. When the Bible sometimes talks about us being saved already, that is through promise. Many might be surprised to learn that we are technically not saved until Yeshua returns and saves us by resurrection. Hebrews chapter 9. "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him." We receive our rewards not when we die and go to heaven as a spirit, but when we are resurrected back to life. The resurrection is our reward. Luke 14. "And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." And how will this happen? 1 Thessalonians 4. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." Yeshua is the first resurrection, and we follow after Him just the same. 1 Corinthians 15. "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ." 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. All will be resurrected, believers and unbelievers. We will be resurrected until eternal life, immortality. Whereas unbelievers, they are only resurrected to face judgment. Why? Because you have to be conscious or self-aware to face judgment. To be conscious, you have to be resurrected following death. John chapter 5. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Again, the resurrection of judgment will be covered in part 7 of this series. Revelation 20 begins to reveal some of the specifics of the timing of these two resurrections. Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Yeshua and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. Then they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Many of the verses we read surrounding the resurrection were for the resurrection of the just. This occurs at Yeshua's return. This is the first resurrection. All of us in the faith will be resurrected at the first resurrection. Yeshua will fulfill the promise for us to enter the promised land. We will be resurrected and gathered. Matthew 24. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. We will reside there for 1,000 years. During that time, through Yeshua, the Torah will go out to the nations, and the nations will be full of the knowledge of the Torah. Yahweh will rule through Yeshua, and we will rule under him. There will no longer be any war. The nations will be expected to follow the Torah, and Israel will rule over all the nations on earth. When we enter the Promised Land, the land will be divided up amongst the tribes. The boundaries are already set. For those of us who are grafted into Israel as Gentiles, the land we choose to dwell in determines the tribe we become. Ezekiel 47. So you shall divide this land among you according to the tribes of Israel. You shall allot it as inheritance for yourselves and for the sojourners who reside among you and have had children among you. They shall be to you as native-born children of Israel. With you they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. In whatever tribe the sojourner resides, there you shall assign him his inheritance, declares Yahweh God. The 1,000 years or millennial reign is also known as the Sabbath rest. It is the rest in Messiah Yeshua that we have to look forward to. For more on this, we would recommend the following teachings. The Creation Prophecy, Hebrews 4, in his rest now or later, and the Brit Hadashah series, the 4th and 7th day. After the 1,000 years, following a time of testing in which Satan is released for a time, there will be another resurrection. This resurrection will include unbelievers for the purpose of judgment, which will be the focus of part 7 of this series. Notice that we have not seen anything yet about going to heaven to live. The idea is to be resurrected to live on earth. Revelation chapter 5. And you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Per Yeshua's prayer, the will of Yahweh is heaven on earth, if you will. His kingdom is to be on earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom's constitution is the Torah, Isaiah chapter 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, Torah, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. What happens to us after the 1,000 years on earth? Is it then that we go to heaven? Revelation 21 offers us the most detail and clarity as to what occurs after the 1,000 years. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. It is not really known what a new heaven and a new earth looks like, but if the goal is for everything to be restored back to the beginning, we suspect that the earth will resemble what we lost because of our sin. We lost the garden. Regardless, the fact remains, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. If there is a new earth, then there is likely a reason for a new earth. It likely seems so obvious now, but it is worth mentioning. There is not a new earth just so we can live in heaven. Make sense? Why was the earth created in the beginning? So man could live on earth. So why will the earth be made new? So once again, man can live on earth. Why make a new earth for any other reason? Back to the beginning. Remember, the end is revealed from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10. The idea is the restoration of all things. Yahweh will restore earth back to how things were in the beginning. Why? So he can dwell with us, just as he did with Adam and Eve. The goal is not to dwell with Yahweh in heaven. The goal is for Yahweh to dwell with us on earth. That was the plan from the beginning. That was the Messiah's prayer, right? On earth as in heaven. First, dwelling on earth was not plan A, and then plan B is us dwelling in heaven. No, Yahweh will dwell with us on earth. Revelation 21. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. It is the restoration of all things. It is heaven coming to earth. It is Yahweh dwelling with man. That is what the end will be. The end is just as the beginning. Everything will be made new. And yes, it will be amazing. Revelation 21. And he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. In the faith, our heritage is for us to become sons of God. Revelation 21. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. For more on that subject, we would recommend the teaching, the Brit Hadashah series, The Firstborn Son. The end result of not being in the faith at this time is far less appealing. Revelation 21 verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. We will talk about the second death more in part 7. The rest of Revelation 21 details the New Jerusalem. Some interpret the New Jerusalem literally and some metaphorically. We believe it could be both literal and metaphorical. For our metaphorical understanding, consider our teaching titled, The 144,000. The literal understanding would present the New Jerusalem as a literal building. The metaphorical understanding is that the New Jerusalem is the body of the resurrected believers, with Yeshua at the top. Regardless of the position one takes, it does not matter for the purposes of this teaching series. However, there is one piece of information that is really interesting as it relates to the topic of this series, and that is found in verses 22 through 27. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. and this city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We see at this point with the new heaven and the new earth that there are those on earth who receive light because of the new Jerusalem. That could be physical light, or it could be metaphorically pointing to the Torah. It could even be both. Since the sun and moon are mentioned as not needed, there does appear to be a literal application as well. Either way, it means that there are still people on earth, and that is the point we need to focus on as it relates to this section of the Life After Death series. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. It also appears that while we are living eternally on earth, that we will have access to the New Jerusalem by being able to enter into it. The gates will always be open, so the people can ascend and descend to and from the New Jerusalem. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. So, if we consider the New Jerusalem to be part of the heavens, then yes, in some way we have access to the heavens at this time. However, as we can see, the point is to live on earth going forward. And when do we have access to the New Jerusalem? It is after we have physical resurrected bodies. There also may be another moment in which we are temporarily in the heavens. This time is following the first resurrection after the Great Tribulation. Let's go back to Isaiah for a moment. Isaiah 26. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers, and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the fury has passed by. For behold, Yahweh is coming out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will disclose the blood shed on it, and will no more cover its slain. You will notice here that after the first resurrection, we are taken into the chambers, in which we are protected while wrath is poured out on the earth for a short time. The wrath, perhaps the bowls of wrath found in Revelation, appear to follow the Great Tribulation and First Resurrection. We see the resurrected in the chambers in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the Great Tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Following the wrath, we exit the chambers and proceed with the millennial reign on earth. Since we just covered so much, it might be a good idea to summarize the teaching series up to this moment. For the sake of simplicity, we will focus on what happens to those in the faith at the moment of death. In part 7, we will focus on what happens to those not in the faith. So let's begin. When we die, we turn to dust. This is the curse of death resulting from sin. We are not conscious or self-aware at this time, metaphorically similar to sleep. We will wake or come to life at the promised resurrection at Yeshua's return. This is the first resurrection and a blessing for all those who participate in it. At the first resurrection, those in the faith who have died come to life. Those who are in the faith and still alive are also changed into new bodies. We will be saved from our flesh that does not want to follow the Torah and given bodies that do want to follow the Torah for all eternity. We will live eternally in this way, glorifying Yahweh. At this first resurrection, we are taken to chambers for protection as wrath is poured out on earth for a short time. We exit the chambers and the 1,000-year millennial reign begins. Prophetically, this is the 7,000th year, or the seventh day. It is what the Sabbath prophetically represents. Following the millennial reign, the new Jerusalem arrives. We enter into it. Heaven and earth are destroyed and made new. We then live on earth for all of eternity, seemingly having access to the new Jerusalem during this time as well. This is after the seventh day. After the seventh day, it is the eighth day. This is what the eighth day of Sukkot represents, the day in which we are done dwelling on a temporary earth. For Sukkot, we are instructed to dwell in a temporary dwelling for 7 days. But then, there's this mysterious eighth day also mentioned. Well, we dwell on a temporary earth for 7 days. On the eighth day, earth is made new, and then we live there permanently, with Yahweh dwelling with us. Think about that for a moment. It is the last great day, and it goes on forever. After the arrival of the New Jerusalem, after both resurrections, Revelation 22 mentions the rivers of the water of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more, and they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Yeshua made mention of similar language, also on the eighth day, the last day of the Feast of Sukkot. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, which is the eighth day of Sukkot, Yeshua stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." There is likely a prophetic connection intended there, connecting the rivers of life to the future eighth day. This is what circumcision on the eighth day represents, the day in which all in the faith will now have been resurrected. All have had their heart of stone cut out and given a new heart, the heart of Yahweh. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Getting back on track, there is really no reality of living in heaven for all of eternity. The point of everything is a restoration back to the beginning to make things perfect and new. The eighth day is known as new beginnings. We go back to the garden, and Yahweh dwells with us from that day forward. All is restored, and all is perfect. Where then did the idea of going to heaven come from? As most of us know, one of the central doctrines of Christianity is teaching that believers will spend eternity in heaven. However, there is no such doctrine taught in the Old Testament. This understanding is based exclusively on New Testament passages. Scripture states that our treasure will be in heaven, not us. We will distinguish the difference in more detail in a moment, but for now, let's examine Scripture. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew chapter 19. Yeshua said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Other passages speak of our reward that is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Our names are recorded in heaven. Luke chapter 10. "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Hebrews chapter 12. "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect." Paul stated that believers were citizens of heaven. Philippians chapter 3. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Messiah Yeshua, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Our hope is laid up in heaven. Colossians chapter 1. "We always thank God, the Father of our Messiah Yeshua, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Messiah Yeshua and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." 1 Peter, agreeing with the previous verses, states that we have an inheritance imperishable reserved for us in heaven. 1 Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Messiah Yeshua. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." A close examination of the scriptures we covered are often mistakenly believed to present the idea that after death, we go to heaven. However, when we examine them closely, we find that such scriptures show that the focus of the New Testament is primarily on the reward of believers, which is the treasure that they have reserved for them in heaven. In 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks specifically of the very nature of this reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." In this passage, Paul speaks figuratively of life in this fleshly body, our earthly house. He tells the Corinthians that they have a building from God in the heavens that awaits them after their fleshly body dies. Notice, that is not saying that we are going to heaven. Something in heaven is coming to us. He speaks longingly of being clothed with his spiritual body, that heavenly dwelling. He states that those believers in the flesh groan in travail, waiting to put on their incorruptible spirit body at the resurrection. It is this immortal spirit body that is the treasure or reward awaiting believers in heaven. Paul is referring to our resurrected body that replaces our fleshy body. The new resurrected body is our new home, our clothing. It replaces what is mortal and gives us life. It is the resurrection that brings us back to life. In an earlier letter, Paul explained this well. Paul told the Corinthians that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he connects the solution to this problem to the coming resurrection that saves us from death. 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Paul's teaching is clear to those who can see past the traditions of men. The reward reserved in heaven for believers is not a residence in heaven itself, but rather an incorruptible heavenly body that believers will have at the resurrection. The Bible never explicitly states that believers will be taken to heaven to spend eternity there. Our reward comes from heaven, our resurrected body, and then we live on earth. In fact, Paul specifically tells us where believers will spend eternity in his first letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so, through Yeshua, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Paul clearly states that after the return of the Messiah, when the dead are resurrected, those who are in Christ will always be with the Lord. Many people think that these verses are speaking of a heavenly dwelling place. Perhaps that would be a valid interpretation if Yeshua is going to be in heaven after our resurrection, but that is not the case. Yeshua will reign on earth following the resurrection. So, to be with the Lord following the resurrection is to be on earth. Yeshua himself promised to come back and take believers to where he would be. John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Many people think that this scripture from the book of John is speaking of a heavenly dwelling place. Perhaps that would be a valid interpretation if Yeshua was going to be in heaven after our resurrection, but that is not the case. Yeshua will reign on earth following the resurrection. Here Yeshua speaks of his Father's house. This reference is also generally understood to refer to heaven. And many have assumed that Yeshua is promising here to bring his disciples to heaven, that they may dwell there forever. However, there is another spiritual house of God spoken of in the New Testament, the body of believers. Within this new house of God would be many dwelling places. The physical bodies of believers would become individual rooms or abodes within the Father's spiritual temple. The rooms prepared for us are our new resurrected or heavenly bodies. To further prove the point, the context gives it away. We arrive in these rooms prepared for us at Yeshua's return when he comes again. John 14, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Immediately at Yeshua's return, we experience the first resurrection. We are temporarily taken to the chambers for a short time during this period of wrath following this resurrection. So there are two options. Either the rooms our Messiah speaks of are our new resurrected bodies, or the rooms prepared for us are the chambers which we are temporarily taken to while Yahweh's wrath is poured out on the earth for a short time, as mentioned in Isaiah 26. However, it appears that Yeshua is more likely referring to our new rooms as our new resurrected bodies, as it is similar to how Paul metaphorically described our resurrected bodies as well. 2 Corinthians refers to our new bodies as new tents for us to dwell in. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Our resurrected bodies could be the new rooms that Yeshua is referring to. Either way, John 14 does not speak of an eternal dwelling place in the heavens. One reason that Christians have embraced heaven as their eternal dwelling place is because they do not study the Old Testament enough to know what it teaches about the coming kingdom of God, or called the kingdom of heaven by Matthew. If believers are to always be with the Lord after his return, where does the Bible show that the Messiah will be then? We have already answered that question earlier, but we are now going to spend the remainder of this section of the Life After Death series detailing the answer to that question. Let's start with the Messiah's own words found in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Many people interpret the phrase kingdom of heaven to mean a kingdom that is in heaven, but that's not what Matthew intended to convey by his use of the phrase. Yeshua stated that the poor in spirit, Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, and those persecuted for righteousness' sake, Matthew chapter 5 verse 10, are going to receive the kingdom of heaven. However, the meek are going to inherit the earth, Matthew chapter 5 verse 5. Will there be two different rewards for these groups of people? Or are these two actually the same? Is the kingdom of heaven, also called the kingdom of God in other gospels, connected to us inheriting the earth, to us living on the earth? Let's find the answer. A little later in the Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua taught his disciples how to pray. The beginning of this prayer, which is familiar to almost every believer, contains insight into our eternal destiny. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." It appears that Yeshua was praying that the kingdom would come to earth. To conclusively show that the kingdom of heaven and the Messiah will be on the earth, we must examine the Old Testament prophecies. These will clearly tell us where believers will enjoy their heavenly reward. Let's begin with a prophecy from the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 8. "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy. I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says Yahweh, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city and the mountain of Yahweh of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares Yahweh of hosts. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness." Zechariah clearly records that Yahweh will return to Jerusalem and will dwell there in the midst of Israel. This is affirmed over and over in the Tanakh as the following prophecies show. Zechariah chapter 2. "And said to him, run, say to that young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls, because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares Yahweh, and I will be the glory in her midst. Up, up, flee from the land of the north, declares Yahweh, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, declares Yahweh. Up, escape to Zion, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus said Yahweh of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall become plunder for those who served them. Then you will know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares Yahweh. And many nations shall join themselves to Yahweh in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. And Yahweh will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Micah says something similar. Micah chapter 4. And it shall come to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and people shall flow to it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God. But we will walk in the name of Yahweh our God forever and ever. In that day, declares Yahweh, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away. To those whom I have afflicted, and the lame I will make the remnant, and those who are cast off a strong nation. And Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. And you, O tower of the flock, hills of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. The former dominion shall come, kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem. Joel chapter 3. Yahweh roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth quake. But Yahweh is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. So you shall know that I am Yahweh your God, who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain. And Jerusalem shall be holy, and strangers shall never again pass through it. And in that day, the mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk. And all the stream beds of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of Yahweh, and water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall become a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the people of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem to all generations. I will avenge their blood, blood I have not avenged, for Yahweh dwells in Zion. Isaiah says something similar. Isaiah 24. Terror in the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. He who flees at the sound of the terror shall fall into the pit, and he who climbs out of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows of heaven are opened, and the foundations of the earth tremble. The earth is utterly broken, the earth is split apart. The earth is violently shaken, and the earth staggers like a drunken man. It sways like a hut. Its transgression lies heavy upon it, and it falls, and will not rise again. On that day Yahweh will punish the host of heaven in heaven, and the kings of the earth on the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners in a pit. They will be shut up in a prison, and many days they will be punished. Then the moon will be confounded and the sun ashamed. For Yahweh of hosts reigns on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and his glory will be before his elders. Isaiah 12. You will say, in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For Yahweh God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to Yahweh, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all of the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Psalms chapter 2 is a fascinating set of messianic verses speaking to this future time. Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and Yahweh holds them in derision. And he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. And Yahweh said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. And I will break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve Yahweh with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. As we have just read, a multitude of Old Testament prophecies speak of the regathering of the Israelites to Israel under the reign of Yahweh through Messiah Yeshua. It is clear that Yeshua will be here on earth, ruling over the nations from Jerusalem. According to Paul, we are to forever be with the Lord when he appears. If that is so, then we too will be here on the earth, ruling with him as kings and priests. Isaiah speaks of what we will do at that time, Isaiah chapter 1. Therefore Yahweh declares, Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will get relief from my enemies and avenge myself on my foes. I will turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and remove all your alloy. And I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. The resurrected with incorruptible spirit bodies will serve as teachers, counselors, and judges for those living in the messianic kingdom of God. As Yeshua's parable of the 10 talents shows, Messiah Yeshua will reward his servants when he returns with positions of rulership within the kingdom of God based on how much spiritual return they generate from the Holy Spirit given to them. They will be given responsibility to lead and teach, as Isaiah's words show us. All of this will be under Messiah Yeshua as our one true teacher, and he will say, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah chapter 30. Therefore, Yahweh waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For Yahweh is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. The prophets do not teach that we go to heaven. At the end of a 1,000-year reign of Messiah, heaven will come to earth. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. A time will come after the reign of the Messiah on earth that God himself will come down from heaven. He will then dwell on the new earth among humanity. The earth, the current version and new earth that will come after the millennium, will always be the home of mankind. So that concludes the events following death for those in the faith. It might be a good idea for us to again summarize the teaching series up until this point for believers. So let's begin. When we die, we turn to dust. This is the curse of death. We are not conscious nor self-aware at this time, metaphorically very similar to sleep. We will wake or come to life at the promised resurrection at Yeshua's return. This is the first resurrection and a blessing for all those who participate in it. At the first resurrection, those who have faith who have died come to life. Those who are in the faith but still alive are also changed into new bodies. We will be saved from our flesh that does not want to follow the Torah and given bodies that do want to follow the Torah for all eternity. We will live eternally in this way, glorifying Yahweh. At this first resurrection, we are taken to chambers for protection as wrath is poured out on earth for a short time. We exit the chambers and the 1,000-year millennial reign begins. Prophetically, this is the 7,000th year, or the seventh day. It's what the Sabbath prophetically represents. Following the millennial reign, the New Jerusalem arrives. We enter into it. Heaven and earth are destroyed and made new. We then live on earth for all of eternity, seemingly having access to the New Jerusalem during this time as well. In part 7, we will detail what happens to unbelievers following death. Do unbelievers go to a place of eternal punishment, or are they destroyed? Why are unbelievers resurrected as well? There'll be much to cover. We pray that you've been blessed by this teaching, and remember, continue to test everything. Shalom.
It is because of you, our generous supporters, who make it possible to offer these high-quality teachings completely free of charge. If you feel led to support 119 Ministries so that we can continue this effort, please visit testeverything.net and click on the Support 119 tab. Learn how you can partner with us to take the whole Word of God to the nations.